Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. Before we join Pastor Dave in today's study, we would like to take a moment and invite you to join us this Easter. Our Good Friday service will be Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. here at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Easter Sunday service will be April 21st at the Spencerport High School Performing Arts Center. The service will begin at 10 a.m. Please come and join us as we celebrate Jesus this Easter. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he continues through the book of Matthew, picking up in chapter 2, verse 13, with a message entitled, The Tale of Two Hearts.
He could have said, man, I've been yielding God's will for years. I took this woman who the angel of the Lord told me back in the beginning of Matthew 1 that she was impregnated by the Spirit of God. I believed him. I mean, your fiance comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. And then if you actually let her get the next words out, because it's not yours, and then she says, and it was the Spirit of God, and you believe that, I mean, that's some merit right there, right? Joseph could have said in all sincerity, I already did that to the angel Lord. I believed the word that was given to me. I took her to be my wife. I moved her out of Nazareth to Bethlehem to remove the reproach from her. I've yielded there. I stood with her there. I brought this baby into the world with her. I'm fathering this baby. I've done all of these things, and I got to yield again? Because sometimes that's what we do. Lord, I've yielded to you. I've given you my life. I've surrendered to you. I've walked through deep water with you. So many of times, why do I have to yield daily to you? Here's why. When you give your life to Jesus, you see, Joseph and Mary, they accepted the call of Mary bearing Jesus in her womb. Nobody's going to have that call here this morning. But if we're Christians, if we're Christ followers, we're called to bear Jesus in our hearts. Not our wombs, but our hearts. And when we make that decision, when we make that proclamation, there needs to be souls and hearts that are constantly, daily, regularly yielding to his will, even when it hurts, even when it's inconvenient, even when we don't like it, even when there's a bank of times to draw from, to say, look at all the times in the past that I yielded. We need to yield still. Because if we stop yielding, if we become unyielding in our walk with the Lord, we stop seeing his glory. Do you understand that this morning? We can't get a glimpse of greater manifestations of who he is. We stunt our walk with him. That was the ramifications there. If Joseph said this, you know what? We're not going to Egypt. We're staying right here, angel. We've been doing everything that you say. We've already moved several times. We have a newborn baby, for crying out loud. We're not going to Egypt. The ramifications would have been Jesus would have been murdered. It's the same scenario in your life and in mine. Jesus can't be murdered necessarily. In reality, he can't be taken from you, but he can be diminished in your life as if he was murdered. Do you understand that? That happens when you don't yield to God's voice. Every time you say, God, I'm not yielding to you because it's too difficult. It's too inconvenient. It's too absurd. It's too frustrating. Every time that you and I do that, even in the smallest of ways, even if we've already done it so many times in the past, we can't see God more. So you might be here this morning. You might be saying, man, I've been a Christian longer than you've been alive, preacher. You might be here this morning. You might be saying, I've yielded to God in the most difficult of times. I could be here this morning and say that. I could sit here this morning and say this to you. My testimony, I could say I took over this church 5.5 years ago as senior pastor. I took over a broken, banged up church 5.5 years ago in the midst of a family crisis. My parents going through things, ultimately divorcing, my brother being sick, my sister-in-law dying. I could say to you guys that I yield to the Spirit. I yield to the Spirit. I can go over the last 5 years of my life and tell you all the catastrophes, all the tribulations, all the trials that I endured and yielded to the Spirit. And in the midst of my suffering, how I showed up and I cheered you all on. And I kept faithful to the work of God, even though I was down in the dumps in the secrecies of my home. I could do that this morning, but if I stop yielding today right now, then all that means nothing. Because that isn't good enough for today. I can't say I yielded all those times then, so I'm done yielding for a while because, man, I deserve a break. Does that make sense to everybody? You can't say this morning, well, I've yielded, I'm saved. I mean, that was the tale of my life, the story of my life. It's always been that. But for a little while here, I don't feel like yielding when the Spirit of God says, shut that off. I'm not talking about big, huge life decisions. I'm talking about small things. I'm sure to Joseph at the time, Moving to Egypt was not the biggest decision he ever made. The biggest decision he ever made was being married to Mary when she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit's baby. Those little practical physical decisions that the Spirit of God says, I want you to yield to me. And do you yield? Because if you're not yielding in those ways, and everything you've yielded to up to this point means nothing. Man, God has been crushing me in the best of ways with that this week. If all my boast is, if all of this is for me is a resume of yielding, but I stopped yielding now in how I talk to my wife and how I treat my wife and how I treat my children and how I don't turn the channel or I do turn the channel or I focus on the image when he says, get your eyes off the image. If all of my boasting is in the past and there's no yielding in the present, I'm of no use to you. I'm of no use to my family. I'm no use to this community. I'm no use to anybody. My heart has to be yielded now. Because the more I don't yield to the Lord, the easier it becomes to ignore his voice. Please, church, hear me this morning. This is so incredibly valuable to the Christian if we take it and digest it. I can't kill Jesus. I can't kill Jesus. I can't. His Spirit's not going to be taken from me. The Scripture's clear. He's always with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. His Spirit's never going to be lifted from my life because I'm his and I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I know doctrine. But I could suppress the Spirit of God, Jesus, in me so much that it's as though I did kill him. And I know this. Listen to me right now. I'll be done in a few minutes, but you listen to me, please. I know this experientially that I can sin so subtly and so quickly that it could snowball and it could become so easy to ignore his voice and do what I want to do quickly. Just going to look at this a little longer. Just going to stay in this relationship just a little longer. Just going to fool around with her or him one more time before I turn my life to God. Just going to listen to a little bit of secular music. Music is crazy. Oh, I love music. Anybody love music here? I love 90s rap, old school. I love it. If I'm at the gym and that comes on and I'm running on the treadmill, and that comes on, I start going like 5 speeds faster. Something happens to me. Like I just, boom, go back to 10th grade quickly. And all of a sudden, man, it messes with the frame of my mind. Something happens with music. It's crazy how just not yielding to turning the station to a music, how the enemy can just get in, and it gets easier to start listening to it, easier to start watching these movies, easier to start fornicating when you stop yielding in the smallest ways, and everything that you've ever done up to that point in your yielding doesn't, it goes out the window. The second thing is this, because I don't have time to keep going on that point, nor do I need to. We all know what I'm talking about. The second thing is this. What's the other consequence if I don't yield? Joseph yielded. What's your points, Pastor? Well, the first thing is that you're going to kill Jesus in you. The second thing is this. You're going to mess up the plans and purposes that he has for your life when you stop yielding. It tells us this, that time and time again, it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. Because Joseph and Mary and Jesus were faithful to the plans of God and purpose of God. They were greater unfolded. They were more so unfolded. You want to know the will of God for your life? I had probably 3-4 people after I preached this message for service coming up to me saying, please pray for me. I need to know the will of God for my life. How do I do it? I'm thinking, geez, if you listened to the message today, you would have known. Maybe you should come to second service. I mean, terrible preaching, I guess. I don't know. I'm just coming back, guys. I went through a lot with my family. Give me a break here. I had a lady come up to me, Pastor, just a couple of minutes of your time. How do I know the will of God for my life? What do I have to do? I mean, I just got done preaching this message, and when I make my point right now, you're going to understand. I'm thinking, what a terrible communicator I am. You know, but anyways, and so here's what happens. When you stop yielding to the Word of God, what did Joseph receive? The Word of God and the impression of God. When you stop yielding to the Word of God in your life and the impression of the Spirit of God that complements that Word of God, you stunt, you put a halt to the will of God being unfolded before you. You can't walk in the fullness of God's blessings for you when you disobey and don't yield to his revealed will. Everybody wants to know, who am I supposed to marry? What job am I supposed to take? How many of my kids am I supposed to have? No more than 2. You know, what do I have to do here? How do I understand these things for my life, God? What do I have to do? Here's what you have to do. You have to yield moment by moment. And when you stop yielding, you put a halt to the plans of God being revealed to you. If Joseph and Mary said no, and they didn't go, then the prophecies that were given concerning the life of Jesus could never come to pass. They would have messed everything up. Listen, the Bible said in the Old Testament, he had to come out of Egypt. Well, they had to move to Egypt from the come out of Egypt. Right? I mean, the Bible said in Scripture, he had to be born in Bethlehem. Well, they had to go to Bethlehem for be born in Bethlehem. If they never did what the Spirit of God said, then none of those plans and purposes for the life of Jesus would have ever come to fruition. It's the same thing for you and me. You want the plans of God and the wills of God, the will of God to come to life in your life, then you got to obey in the smallest of ways every single day. Even if it seems insignificant, even if it seems small, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. A heart that's yielded. We'll stop there for Joseph. And we'll go now in our closing to a heart that is yearning in the most negative sense. A heart that is yearning, a heart that is full of ambition, a heart that is yearning to be king. Jesus was born king. Herod took this title and made himself king. A vast difference between the two. Herod was this man who was not Jewish, but was constantly seeking all of his life to be liked by the Jews. Because that's the territory that he inherited, because his father did a favor for the Roman government, and the reward was Herod being able to rule over Judea, over the Jews, who was ultimately under the control of the Romans. You with me? So he gets this title given to him by Julius Caesar called King of the Jews, but he wasn't really the King of the Jews. Jesus is the King of the Jews. So he gets this title, and he creates and takes this identity, and he does what a lot of people do here today and now in our culture. He creates an identity for himself, and then he defends his identity. That's his whole life story. He creates an identity, and then he defends that identity for all of his days. He's a heart that is yearning after his desire and his will versus a heart that is yielded like Joseph. There's a contrast being put on display for us this morning. A heart that says this, I'm king, and I'm going to always be king no matter what or who comes along the way. And anything or anyone who tries to come and creep in on this identity that I've created for myself, I'll destroy. History tells us he murdered at least three of his sons. He murdered his favorite wife. It was said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than a relative because the guy was so insane. He had this alter ego. He was paranoid. That's what happens when you create your own identity and when your identity is able to be shattered. We live in a society where people find their identity in many of things. Especially in a day and age where social media is so prominent. They create the best and they hide the rest. There's this is who I want people to see me as. This is who I want people to know me as, think of me as. That was Herod. The guy was paranoid. He was no taller than 4'11", history says. And I mean, he was just a little shrimp. I would have loved to sit next to him. And he had to create this identity as king and defend it. People find their identity in all sorts of things. Some of you young people here today, a lot of young faces, your identity is that you're a star soccer player, or you're a star baseball player, or you're a star wrestler. I remember playing sports all growing up, soccer, baseball, wrestling. Got to my freshman year in the wrestling room, and my kneecap is hanging off the side of my leg. I had my whole knee reconstructed. My identity as an athlete was taken. And I remember being as a freshman, a 14-year-old kid, thinking, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what click I fit anymore because my identity was sports, and now I don't have sports, so I went and started smoking pot with kids who smoked pot. That's how I started falling away from the Lord. I don't know if my mom knew that. I'm so scared to look at her right now. Woo. Woo. So afraid of her still. Just like once or twice maybe. But anyways, you know, you start doing things to find your identity. I started hanging out with kids that didn't play sports and got themselves into trouble. Some of you find your identity in that. And then what happens is either your career comes to an end, somebody comes along that's better than you, because there's always somebody who's better than you, or you get hurt or it abruptly comes to a halt. Something happens and then, oh no, who am I? What am I? Some people put their identity in their education and the job they ultimately get. This is what defines me. This is who I am. I went to law school. I went to medical school, whatever. I went to school for being a business person and this is my identity. Then your job, you know, lays you off or you're fired or the company goes under and you lose that and you, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore because that was my identity. These are things that are able to be shattered. Some people put their identity in relationships. I'm his girlfriend. I'm her boyfriend. That's my wife. That's my husband. And then the relationship comes to a breakup or a divorce. Or some people put their identity in their children. You raise your children. You live vicariously through them. Maybe, you know, that's my kid. That's what I was like. I was the same thing. And you raise them. Then they grow up and they go and they start their own family and they're gone and your identity is shattered because, I mean, what are you going to say now? They have their own family. You kind of lose that identity as I'm his dad or her mom or whatever. The thing that I'm trying to say here this morning is when your identity isn't anything else other than being the son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's easy to be able to be removed from you and taken from you. These are things that maybe you do, but it's not who you are. Who you are is a king's kid. Now listen, Herod's identity was something he created and defended. I'm king, and that's where I want to get to for closing this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, I'm not yielding to anybody. I'm my own me. I don't agree with everything that the Bible says. I don't agree with everything that you say. I like most of it, but not all of it. I like a lot of what that book says, but not all of it. I like the part about being saved and going to heaven, but the part about telling me who I'm going to be, what sex I could marry, or what bathroom I could use, or, you know, how what the value of life is, or being honest with my taxes, that part, that's way too invasive, man. And you got to be radical to follow that part. I like the Jesus saves part, but everything else about lordship stuff, that's a little invasive for me. I'm my own king, is what you're saying. And when you're your own king and you never repent of that, when you're your own king and you die that way, you too will be devoured by worms. I think of Mark's gospel here when it talks about hell. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place of outer darkness and torment. Herod was eaten by worms. You're not going to be eaten by worms in hell if you're consumed. You're not going to be consumed in that way, but you're going to be tortured in that way when you say, I'm my own king. I do what I want to do. And maybe for some of you, it's like, man, why'd you have to go there? Why are you talking about hell now? Things were all right till you did that. Here's why, because heaven doesn't sound too good till you realize the reality of hell. Hell is talked about more than any other place by Jesus and the New Testament in Scripture. There's a reason for it. Until you understand the reality of hell, heaven is as glorious as it really is. Hell is a real place. Hell was created for Satan and his demons who've rebelled and rejected Jesus Christ as who he is. And it's a place where everybody who believes that mentality, who has that mentality, will go with Satan and his demons if they never come to repentance. God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell when they say, no, thank you to Jesus. I'm my own king. And maybe you're here and you say, well, what's the big deal? Why is it such a big deal if I'm my own king? I'm just talking about myself. I'm not talking about I'm being your king. Everybody else's king. Here's the big deal. You being your own king, me being my own king, is far too much. Because you being your own king affects me and everybody around you. And me being my own king affects you and everybody around you. Because we make selfish, terrible decisions when we live to please self. I'm going to tell you something straight up honestly this morning. If I'm not yielding to Jesus, I'm no good. If I'm my own king, because sometimes during the day I tell Jesus, you got to get up. I'm going to sit there on the throne for a little bit. Sometimes during the day, I look when I shouldn't look. I talk when I shouldn't talk. I say what I shouldn't. I do things. And when I'm my own king, I'm the ugliest, nastiest, vainest, wickedest person I know. I'm of no use to my wife. I'm of no use to my children. I'm no use to this church, to this service or first service. I'm no use to this community. I'm no use to this society when I'm my own king. But when my heart is yielded to Jesus, that's when good can flow from my life. That's your story too. Your marriage gets better. Your raising your children gets better. You being a child of parents gets better. You being a brother, you being a sister, you being a servant of the church, you being just a person who lives in this society. Everything gets better when you're yielded to Jesus instead of you yearning to be your own king. Get off the I'm my own king and be settled that I'm the king's kid and find amazing rest and joy in that. There is nothing better than being the king's kid and knowing the Lord and walking with the Lord. The worship team's going to come, but listen to this. Joseph and Mary didn't have much, did they? They didn't really have anything, but they had Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have everything, but you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. I was thinking about that yesterday. I got gift cards for my birthday to buy sneaks. My birthday was on Monday, for those of you who care. May 9th, mark your calendars. I got gift cards to buy sneaks yesterday. I always want sneaks. I love sneaks. And I'm at Foot Locker with my wife last night. Yesterday was my 11-year wedding anniversary, for those of you who care. 11 years. It's a long time. Me and my wife have been together for 14 years. That's a long time. It's amazing. I can't believe she stays with me. But we were at Foot Locker last night, and I was using my gift cards, and I'm looking at these sneaks, and I'm thinking, how stupid are sneaks? You walk in these dumb things, you get them dirty, they get stepped on, your kid steps on them. The Lord allowed, last time I got a new pair of sneaks, somebody dropped coffee all over my shoe in the cafe, and they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's fine. No, it's fine. It's so painful, and they're dumb sneaks. And then like 3 months later, they're not even on the shelves anymore because they're discontinued and the new model is out. The new model, or a car. I keep seeing like just, you know, all these new models that come out around this time of the year, and before we know it, the fall is going to come, and all of this year's models are going to be outdated, and then the 2017s will be in 2016 in the fall, and everyone's going to be like, oh, what did you get for a car? I got this car. What year is it? 2017s are out so much better. You should have waited. And you can't even get the new, nothing stays new. I'm using my iPad yesterday, my little iPad, my iPad mini. Now there's like these iPad biggies. I don't know what they are, but somebody from church has an iPad this big. He walks around like this with it, with his high promise. It was small, the culture said not long ago. Now it's big and everything is like this. You can't even keep up. It's crazy. And nothing satisfies. The car, the sneaks, the technology. When your identity is in anything else besides being one who's yielded to Jesus, some people's identity is their beauty, their strength. Then they lose their strength. They lose their beauty. Everything starts to drop. Then they get surgery to lift everything back up. It looks terrible. It looks terrible. What a miserable life when your life is creating and defending your identity. It is so much better, instead of yearning for something or to be something or someone, it is so much better to lay that all aside and to say, Jesus, you take the throne of my heart.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.